Many years ago, a researcher named Stuart Oskamp conducted a famous study in which he gathered together a group of psychologists and asked each of them to consider the case of a 29-year-old war veteran named Joseph Kidd. In the first stage of the experiment, he gave them just basic information about Kidd. Then he gave them 1.5 single-spaced pages about his childhood. In the third stage, he gave each person 2 more pages of background on Kidd's high school and college years. Finally, he gave them a detailed account of Kidd's time in the Army and his later activities. After each stage, the psychologists were asked to answer a 25-item multiple-choice test about Kidd. Oskamp found that as he gave the psychologists more and more information about Kidd, their confidence in the accuracy of their diagnoses increased dramatically. But were they really getting more accurate? As it turns out, they weren't. With each new round of data, they would go back over the test and change their answers to 8 or 9 or 10 of the questions, but their overall accuracy remained pretty constant at about 30%. As they received more information, Oskamp concluded, their certainty about their own decisions became entirely out of proportion to the actual correctness of those decisions. This is the same thing that happens with doctors in the ER. They gather and consider far more information than is truly necessary because it makes them feel more confident. And with someone's life in the balance, they need to feel more confident. The irony, though, is that that very desire for confidence is precisely what ends up undermining the accuracy of their decision. They feed the extra information into the already overcrowded equation they are building in their heads, and they get even more muddled. This doesn't mean, of course, that there aren't occasions when more information is better. When Goldman sat down in front of his computer in order to figure out the algorithm, he used every available piece of information he could find. Excessive information is not a threat when we have the luxury of time, the help of a computer, and a clearly defined task. But in the rush of the ER, face-to-face with a patient, doctors need protection from the burdens of excessive information. What Riley and his team at Cook County were trying to do, in short, was provide some structure for the spontaneity of the ER. The algorithm is a rule that protects the doctors from being swamped by too much information, the same way that the rule of agreement protects improv actors when they get up on stage. The algorithm frees doctors to attend to all of the other decisions that need to be made in the heat of the moment. If the patient isn't having a heart attack, what is wrong with him? Do I need to spend more time with this patient or turn my attention to someone with a more serious problem? How should I talk and relate to him? What does this person need from me to get better? One of the things Brendan tries to convey to the house staff is to be meticulous in talking to patients and listening to them and giving a very careful and thorough physical examination, skills that have been neglected by many training programs, Evans says. He feels strongly that those activities have intrinsic value in terms of connecting you to another person. He thinks it's impossible to care for someone unless you know about their circumstances, their home, their neighborhood, their life. He thinks that there are a lot of social and psychological aspects to medicine that physicians don't pay enough attention to. Riley believes that a doctor has to understand the patient as a person. And if you believe in the importance of empathy and respect in the doctor-patient relationship, you have to create a place for that. You have to relieve the pressure of decision-making in other areas. Diagnosing a heart attack, of course, is hardly a classic example of rapid cognition. Physicians don't, or at least I hope they don't, make snap judgments about the status of our hearts. Diagnosing chest pain is a complex, deliberate, and conscious process that takes place over minutes and hours, not seconds. But I think that Goldman's theories and the Cook County Hospital experience, like the marriage research of John Gottman, can teach us something very valuable about how decision-making works. Both Goldman and Gottman took a complex problem and reduced it to its elements. Gottman's research validates thin slicing, the idea that even the most complicated of situations can have an identifiable underlying pattern. Goldman's research validates frugality. In diagnosing that pattern, less is more. Overloading the decision makers with information, he proves, makes picking up that signature harder, not easier. To be a successful decision maker, we have to edit.